sentence and comments are open? Ken, is that you talking?
It is Ken McKeelan. I was talking to Ken Coach just about some a stop sign, and I know he did the analysis and stuff like that, and I know he sent me the analysis. But I just figured I'd come on to see what you guys are talking about and stuff like that. And then I know that since they can't do a stop sign, I didn't know if I could talk about, I don't know, about maybe doing a just posting a sign under the stops, the current stop sign there saying cross traffic does not stop.
Put out by the feds, and it's followed throughout the country. So we were able to collect traffic data, both using our tube counters, which collects 24-hour traffic counts. But then we also have radar equipment that helps capture counts, but also captures speed. So the typical analysis when you look at a stop sign, you look at traffic volumes, you look at approach speed, you look at sight distance, and you look at crash history, and all that analysis kind of goes into the evaluation. So in the case of Fairfax and Wyndham, the traffic volumes are still relatively low, below 2,000 units per day. There's no sight distance concerns or issues. The major intersection, appears to be Wyndham Ridge Road. So that is the, I think it's the opposite. Yeah, Wyndham Ridge Road is the main intersection, sorry. So that has more traffic. There is no significant accident history. We do reach out to the police department and gather that information. And I don't recall any incidents there. So certainly it does not meet the criteria for a multi-way stop. There are special criteria for that. So we would not recommend, a four-way stop in that location. So based on, the analysis, we recommend keeping the stop signs the same as it currently is in that location. Just down further to the north, we took a look at that area. There was a suggestion or a thought that there was quite a bit of speeding taking place in that area. So we certainly took speed counts in there. So at Wyndham and Couch, again, there's no accidents, no sight distance constraints. Posted speed in residential subdivisions is 30 miles an hour. So the average speed from the data that was collected was about 28 miles per hour. And the 85th percentile speed, and just a bit on that, so that's basically 85% of the traveling public would travel 33 miles an hour and less based on the data that's collected. So that 85th percentile threshold that's used when you're doing speed analysis studies throughout the country. Why that was selected, I don't know, but that is consistently used as far as taking a look at speed. So that comes out to be 33 miles an hour, which is, it's higher than maybe you'd like to see in a 30 mile an hour zone, but it's still within, it's close and it's still within reasonable expectations. So certainly stop signs are not meant to control speed. That is not something that's done. There are other ways to control speed. One certainly is additional enforcement. And then there's also traffic calming measures. If it is a problem, it could be implemented to help control those. So, based on the above criteria, the ones that we typically run through, certainly that intersection is not a good candidate for a stop sign either. So, be open to discussing anything more or having some additional comments on it. Certainly the resident had a comment about adding indications underneath the existing stop signs perhaps we can talk about. So Eric, I don't recall if that's, you have those elsewhere in the city or certain
we locations. We do. We have them in a few locations and we can certainly look at putting them up here. It's not
that's just a little tricky.
They're actually 18 by or 12 by 18 or 18 by 24 depending on the perception.
They don't always work, but they're helpful. Sometimes you can fly some stop signs doesn't work. But they're helpful.
Sure. The one thing I was wondering about, Brando, and this is kind of quite a guess on your part. So, in Raintree, which is right behind this area, which feeds this area, is that the phase that's getting kind of developed over there as far as homes first?
It is. To the northeast a little bit, yes. But actually, a lot of that area is starting to pop. There's a lot of new building starts out there, too, yes.
So, several years from now, we may have to look at it again at that point if there's a lot more traffic coming through there. I have a feeling that wouldn't be a cut through as time is, instead of going through Main Street, we'll go through
there maybe.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So we did an analysis of the Raintree intersections a couple years ago. And I think we threw in there at the bottom of our memo that, you know, there's a good chance we'll have to reevaluate those intersections when Raintree, you know, fully develops. So absolutely hit the nail on the head. You know, at some time we'll probably reevaluate those intersections, including the ones that we referenced here tonight. Yeah.
Okay. Any other comments?
No, I'm good.
You good, Ken? All right.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Ken. Feel free to hang around, but if you got to take care of business, feel free to head out. So.
All right, no problem. Thank you.
Yeah, take care. Back into the standard agenda. PW 2021-36. Supplemental MFT resolution for both rock salt purchases.
This is our yearly resolution for rock salt. This year we were fortunate, we did get to keep our very low price of $45.44 per ton. The only caveat to that is we can only order 20% more than we ordered last year. So that's what this is for, and I'm still in the process of looking for additional salt if possible, just to buy on the open market at a reasonable price. And just to have it in the store is cheap. But this is something we have to do, purchasing rock salt from MFT, and it's basically a formality. I already signed up for the state purchase, and we should get our allotment in October.
My understanding, too, is the price did deviate from last year's price?
No, this MFT allows you 1 year of roll, so next year we'll have to go in their bid pool again, but next year we're able to hold the price.
Excellent. Looks like we're looking for a approval by the council, right?
Yes, so this would be a recommendation to place it on the city council agenda.
Okay.
And then this is where we choose whether it's going to be on the regular public works report or on the consent agenda. That's
part
of our discussion.
Questions? Sir? Right. Well, I'd like to move it forward to city council then. What are our thoughts here? Standard public works or consent agenda?
Throw it on consent. Can't guarantee it'll stay.
Yeah, it might pull it on.
All right. Well, let's not throw it on consent then. Although it's early in my relationship with John, so I'm trying to keep on.
I'm going to tell you this right now. If you don't throw anything on consent, you'll have 2 pages of things to read. So
it's like a war strategy here. It would be our recommendation for that consent. It's a relatively administrative agenda item in nature.
Okay.
And so typically, this is historically something we've been on consent agenda.
Well, I am good with recommending the consent agenda. The masses agree, and then if they're good, you move.
Yes. Yes.
Excellent. Moving forward here, PW 2021-37, Elizabeth Street Water Main Easement.
This one's a little more involved. It is the last piece of the puzzle for our Elizabeth Street Water Main project, which starts next week. So right when this gets voted on, we're going to start the project. But we need an easement on the very far west end of the project. There was two large locks created in the, I believe it was late 50s, early 60s when this was planted. And there was never an easement given nor granted for the water main that is there. So in Brad's research, finding that out, we then approached the homeowner, who luckily was actually the daughter and son-in-law of the original owners. So it was kind of nice after the initial shock that we're going to go through your yard, but you're going to pay you for it. And instead of cash, they asked for landscaping, and we just returned it to the state that it was, which is not heard of. And actually, when the numbers, the estimate comes out, it should be very close to the same cost as we would pay for the cash allotment for the easement. So I believe that's about $11,500 or so, which is almost exactly what we would pay for the easement.
$2 per square foot.
Yeah, it's the billing rate right now. And we actually, this landscaping, we are actually getting quotes for 7 from the rest of the landscape of the project because it's so small.
And 10 car washes?
And 10 car washes, because we're driving through dust every day.
the end of it will happen, we'll actually have an easement going forward then.
We will. I have the Mylar, the easement document in my office, and as soon as it gets approved Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, I'll go over to the Cruises and have them sign it.
Good. So recommendations to move from committee to city council. Good. Scrolling, there we go. BW 2021-38, Beaver Street Pump Station Improvements.
All right, we took bids on this project in mid-April. And are bringing it forth to the committee tonight for consideration. So this project is related to water system improvements. So it is the installation of a generator at a booster pump station, which is on the south side of town, along with adding some other VFDs and upgrading some other equipment. This allows us to move water more efficiently throughout the city. So it kind of gives us some additional backup and firepower, you know, in case something were to happen, electricity were to go down, things such as that. So it's an element that I know has been on the Earth list for quite a while to get installed. So we did get that project out here recently. One bidder, which is not unusual. This is pretty specific and specified work. Frank Marshall, excellent contractor. They've done a lot of work for us on various projects similar to this. Eric, I think you use them exclusively as well.
They do all our big power.
Yeah, so very well known for big power type of work, which this certainly equates to. Good bid, below our estimate, below budget. So we are recommending approval of this project and of the awarding the contract to Frank Marshall Electric. In the amount of $272,244.00. So if you have to address any questions that anybody may have on this project or on the bid.
Pretty good out there too.
Yeah.
Excellent. John says, any questions out there in Zoom land?
What are we doing with that extra 15% we're saving?
Oh, we'll spend it. Don't worry.
I was going to say, we're going to buy a bottle of water.
We didn't even have to switch the guy. Perfect. Excellent. All right, so recommendations to move to the City Council for consideration of the contract award.
Yeah.
Good.
Good with that? All right, BW 2021-39, the 2020 stripping program. Striping program?
Striping.
So this project was initiated in 2020, and then basically was put on hold because of COVID. So the project was delayed throughout the summer last year. When we decided to move forward, we left the project. And got under contract with the contractor, and then the weather turned on us. So we were not able to complete the work in the fall, but the contractor did jump on it in mid-April and completed the striping work. Basically, this was all around the Menards area and those concrete streets in the area. Since MFT funds were used, there's certain documentation that's required to bring forth to the City Council and get approval. One of them is what they call a request for change of plans, which is basically a change order. So the original bid was almost $29,000. The budget was $25,000. So the project magically came in at slightly less than $25,000. So then the difference is in the change order or the change in plans. So that specific IDOT document is attached. And then they also need what they call a final pay estimate, approved and signed. And that is also attached in the packet. And certainly we recommend both for approval. So be happy to address any questions anyone may have on those documents.
recommendation is to submit to City Council for approval of a request for change in plans and final payment estimate.
Consent agenda or no?
Yeah, let's put it on there. I'm just going to do it to your record. PW 2021-40, Countryside Lift Station SCADA upgrades.
This is the final SCADA upgrade for our lift stations. It's part of a three-year program we started. The Blackberry Creek North lift station, we did an entire change-out and upgrade that system. And then last year, we did the five, what we call our kind of cookie-cutter lift stations. They're all about the same. They all have very similar components that we were able to do five of them for a relatively inexpensive amount of money. And we saved our biggest and most complicated one for last in Countryside. The other ones, just to kind of put it in perspective, were well over $25,000. I want to say they were between $15,000 and $18,000 each. And Countryside comes in at about $44,000. There's a lot more to Countryside. Countryside lift station, although it is in Countryside, handles everything from that position to the east all the way to Grand Reserve. So that lift station is north of 34. That's a very large lift station and has a lot of components to it. So, but this will finish it. This is a sole source. It is Metropolitan Industries, which is the manufacturer and company that builds and services all of our lift stations. But with that sole source, it needs a super.
They did the previous ones, right?
That's correct.
So, yeah. So this is the last one? Then.
This is the last one?
Okay.
Okay. And this is the wastewater?
This is, yes. Yeah, for
sanitary sewage.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So this allows us to check them from one remote location.
Yep, and we can actually have like our water where our operator can have it on his phone and with him.
Yes.
At all times.
So I think you're going to be proactive versus reactive at this stage, right?
Correct. Right now we're reacting and we'd like to be able to handle these more taxes.
Great. Thanks, Eric. Any questions?
Where's this station at exactly?
Right across the street from Wendy's.
That's what I thought, okay.
Any other questions? All right. Recommendation is to move to City Council. I think this will, can we keep this one off of the consent agenda? So you can capture it to the next one, which is not very good in that rich, on road. All right. PW 2021-42, the 2021 Roads to Better Roads Program.
You want me to take that one, Bart?
Go ahead.
Okay. So the city entered into a contract with the for the base Road to Better Roads Program of just a little bit under $860,000. In fact, he has started some of that work earlier this week. And then based on the budget, you know, that was recently approved, a number of discussion points on adding additional roadways into this particular contract, or with this contractor, I should say. So we were able to reach out to D, and they supplied us with a quote and a letter agreeing to keeping the unit prices with the original Road to Better Roads contract. And that contract is in here for consideration. So since we are using MFT funds on the original contract, we cannot change order and add the additional work into that. So we have to approve a separate agreement with the contractor. So that is how it is currently structured. And you know, if the City Council still desires, it's available for consideration of approval next week. So the streets are noted in the exhibit, with the one exception that the Wing Road is going to be added on to the Route 71 project. Eric has already contacted the resident engineer there, and it's looking like that cost will come in you know, less than the $45,000. So with that, open to a discussion and try to get things addressed.
Question?
Brad, we still have one more bit to go with Fox Hill, correct?
Yeah, so yeah, from an overall roadway maintenance standpoint, the Fox Hill development, where we're using the Illinois Rebuild Funds. A couple weeks ago, we received IAD approval on the plans, so we are officially on the street from a bidding perspective. Bids are due on the 28th of this month. So June, you will see recommendations for award for that project. And the estimates in the 1.4 or 1.5 million range. So another pretty significant project for the city. So looking forward to getting those bids and seeing where we stand.
Any other questions? Recommendation to the city council for consideration of approval.
Good.
You?
Yep.
All right. PWD 2021-43, Stormwater Management Basin Inspections. This is an update.
All right, so from time to time, we do update the committee on where we're at from an inspection and compliance standpoint. So the city has what's called a NPDES permit, which is required of the city the size of Yorkville. So as a part of that permit, you are required to inspect all of your stormwater basins every 5 years or so. And so the city initiated those inspections back in 2018, and then we've been doing them every year. We broke it up into four quadrants. So 2018, 2019, 2020, we did three of those quadrants. So over 100 basins were inspected. So, what are we looking for out there? I mean, we're looking for, are there any major failures, blockages with some of the outlet pipes, erosion, are they following best management practices, things like that. And of course, it's to maintain drainage, make sure nobody's, flooding, downstream issues are gonna cause any issues. So of those 111 basins that were inspected, at this point, about 50% of those are in compliance. Some folks have been very responsive and addressed any issues that were out there. Some didn't have any issues at all. They've been doing what they were supposed to be doing. But 50% are not compliant. So we have sent numerous pieces of correspondence over the last 3 years to those entities. Some indicated that they were going to do some work, but then they never got around to it and kind of strung us along. Some folks just did not respond at all. So in discussing with Bart and with Eric and with Christy, our recommendation currently is that we send the 50% that's in non-compliance a letter on the city letterhead. Most likely coming from Christie's department, and give them basically 30 days to provide a detailed schedule note how they're going to complete the work. Otherwise, they're opening themselves up to building code violations and possible fines. So that is the current recommendation. I know Christie's drafting up a letter and having it ready to go if the city council so desires. That's the current recommendation from staff at the moment.
So just to be clear, when we sent out our original notice letters, we didn't tell them that they were in violation of the city code. They needed to bring it within a certain amount of days, which is our standard process. And as Brad alluded to, there's been different responses, including at least one subdivision who's just told us, well, I'm not going to do anything until you make me do it. Not usually the best response, but it is what it is. So we're just tightening it up. We want to make sure that it's a little bit more strict, and not that we're not going to work with people on a reasonable timeline, and the mayor has expressly told us that we need to be reasonable with people, but they actually need to come to the table and propose something versus just saying, well, I'm not going to do it until you make me type of thing. So that's what we're moving towards. It's like,
the letters that have gone out, although addressed individually, is it, to those in violation, are those, is it a uniform letter, or does it provide specifics as to how they can rectify?
Yeah, so it is, you know, there's certainly some canned language, but each basin itself has its own recommendations and, you know, level of work that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, I guess. So, majority of these letters or communications, is that point to an HOA usually? Or who do you send it to?
Combination, but yes, a lot of HOAs do receive it, yes.
Who else would receive that?
Whoever,
like,
could be a different property owner.
Whoever owns it on the tax parcel.
Correct.
Okay.
Most of them are HOAs, but it's not 100% across the board.
Yeah, I was just curious, who you send those to?
And Fox Hill is actually unique to that, kind of this, where Fox Hill's ponds that are in the non-HOA area are all our
apartments.
So we inherited that one thing.
Yeah, I do need a lot of security here.
Yeah, correct. Right.
Okay, I was always wondering who you sent those to.
Yes, sir.
I would just suggest that we send those out certified and let's use the fake pets.
Yeah.
Not with stormwater reasons, but.
Yeah, we'll take that into consideration.
Especially with the responses we're getting.
Yes.
Good. Good idea. Any other questions? Suggestions? Thanks, Brett.
But we officially have the whole business at this stage here. PW 2021-1, Green Road closure options.
So this is back in front of the committee. Last time we talked about it, you would authorize the redo of the road, which we authorized the tie down, so that's moving forward. And then we talked about whether we wanted to close the southern end of it. And when we talked, we thought maybe we could put something together and say it's going to take 10 barriers or 5 $10,000 or whatever. We reviewed it afterwards and spoke with the mayor. The recommendation basically is just let it be. People are going to use it rather than go through the additional work and cost of trying to close it off for maybe however many dozens of cars use it a day. We figured we'd just let it run its course for another 20 years and then replace it at that point rather than making more work for ourselves at this point. So that's the recommendation. If you want to see the cost estimates or want to proceed forward, that's fine. But after we had a chance to talk to it, that's kind of the conclusion we came to.
So the biggest area of disrepair that exists on Wing Road is that IDOT's responsibility under the second project, the part that's really bad.
That's under ours.
Yeah. They've already replaced. It's like the north 100, 200 feet or so.
Yeah.
But everything else is ours.
That's great.
They replace that to meet their new grades for the roadway, because that's how far back they had to come. And usually it's very short distances, so they had to come back to meet the grades. They raised the road up a little bit in that area.
Any other questions there?
So the recommended action would be no further action. Okay. Let's drop the discussion unless everybody else wants to set for a suit closure.
I think that's good with me. Objections? Questions? All right. On all this is number 2, PW 2021-33, sidewalk locations.
Yes, yeah, so we still have a budget for sidewalks. And I know that everybody had been objected, the majority had objected to the one section of Autumn Creek. So we didn't know what you wanted to do. Do you want to just pull that section out and proceed with the rest of it? Do you want to pick a different sidewalk section to insert it in its place? You don't have to make that decision now. It's, obviously a less strategic decision-making So the mayor approached me about it, and I explained to him my situation, what I thought. And so I offered up another scenario, and, you know, we had the blacktop machine that they did out of the bridge. They did them all around that. This is much greater there than it was would be here. Why not just use the blacktop machine, do those, maybe go over on the corner even, so, and then it would be a lot cheaper, and then it's torn up.
We're studying a number of options that could just be limestone gravel to be dumped there. I mean, there are things that are going to be more or less appropriate as far as size and scope and cost for that area. My guess is off the top of my head that the limestone thinner path is probably the most cost effective compared to the black path, but that's something we can look at.
So after that, I went out there to look at it so I first can see what, and I seen across the street, I think it's Hayden. Someone did, just looks like they formed in a, and they did a limestone section for an empty lot there.
Yep.
Now, the one we're talking about doing, it looks like there was limestone there one time, it's all growing through. So that's what I thought. Just bring the paving machine out and put yourself in.
So you're okay with a lesser scope cost?
I'd better use $50,000 for another sidewalk somewhere. Right?
It's weird. It's less to do Wing Road than it is to do these little sections of sidewalk, which seems crazy. I know concrete's higher and more expensive, but in reality, it's not that, it's a lot smaller area.
Because that, my thing is, was, first of all, this goes on throughout the city a lot of places where lots, they didn't build a house, so you have a break. I started looking at it and I'm like, wow, you can find this almost, and there's a lot of them in this neighborhood.
Yes.
That's that way. And I don't think these houses are going to build. From what I can see, they're not going to build these houses real soon. And so that's why I thought, oh yeah, let's put down something that's better than, you know, kids and tell them to walk on. But it's not that if the developer does come in and they tear up black hot, then you could have put concrete down anyhow that
way. Right. I would agree for that.
Yeah, I think something's better than nothing because you can see the dirt path that they've created through there.
And if you have questions, go out to Bridgeville and see the path that the guys put all the way around over the ball field. It's nice.
It's a nice little wild area. Yeah, I think it's a reasonable alternative scenario.
It's a lot cheaper.
Yeah. My concern is you know, obviously, my predecessor was here when we took this vote, right? That it's a safety concern. Nobody's been hit yet, right?
Right.
Which is a great thing. I don't think that's a defense for saying we shouldn't do it. but I see, we know the weather is very unpredictable. It gets very muddy in those, you know, those unfinished lots, sop up water, they don't have proper drainage systems, there are a lot of kids walking over them. So I do think if we can look at something like that, I'm suggesting, and Jason, it sounds like you're interested in that as well, and Eric would think it's feasible, I think that's a reasonable alternative scenario. So I guess it comes down to, as Bart mentioned, do we want to hold this and then discuss it at a later time, or do we want to pull that section out and then move forward?
Because my big dilemma at the last council meeting was I was not against any of the other ones. I just this one here, and I didn't even, I really had that hesitation about even, you know, I thought we could do something different. That's why I didn't, even at committee level, I didn't think okay with going forward. But the other ones I'm okay with on there, so.
Yeah, so if I could make a recommendation then, it would be to proceed forward with bidding out or doing, we're bidding all of this out, correct?
Yeah. I mean,
bidding out all the sidewalks except for the Autumn Creek section, and then they come back with a recommendation, either blacktop, limestone, or some other method, you know, for that Autumn Creek section. And then we can kind of take that puzzle piece and fit it in. Because it'll take you a few weeks anyway to do the bidding documents, a few weeks to bid it out, so I mean, you're looking at probably a month at least anyway.
Yeah, so, at this point, we're looking probably at a July, a late June letting, July meeting to bring it back forth to the committee for consideration of award.
Okay, yeah. So that gives us time to debate what's going on with Autumn Creek, to figure out if we want to add that into the bid package or to just do that separately, whatever else.
So in the packet, we were looking at
two lots, right? So would we not just want to do it all the way around the corner?
It is a related order, but that's one lot. It's a
front. Right, so you're doing the side and you're doing the both corners. Okay,
Yeah.
All right, that makes more sense.
So what do you think, how much cost savings is there if we did the alternative with asphalt?
In all honesty, not a lot. Yeah, I'll tell you why. Because the asphalt paver only goes to 8 foot.
Okay.
So we'd have to add. So and then it's still landscape. The landscape is a large cost of this, the backfill of the curves.
Right, oh yeah. So I guess that's my concern is that if you're to spend, let's say it's 40 grand instead of 50,
right.
And then when those lots get built up, they're going to be tearing them out and we're going to have to pay for it again.
Yeah.
So then why not just do it the right way now and get done with it?
Yeah, I guess my recommendation would probably end up being the limestone, basically, after we talk about that. I mean, that's a solution we've done before, and I'm trying to remember, like, the unit price, but I want to say it's, like, you can do 10 times the amount of lots, maybe.
It's much cheaper. And you're just aggregate subbasin. That's all you're doing.
You might be able to do a couple block lengths.
Are you going to put that again top of the curb, too, so it's not a big washout?
We did not last time.
Right.
We did not. it didn't seem to be such an issue, but with the sidewalk, we were actually going to have to raise up the grade would be when it was finished. And yeah, but with the line path, we did not.
All right. And how much do you think that would be? Ballpark?
I think we estimated somewhere 15 to 17, I think is what we were looking at.
Yeah. All right. I don't mind that.
A third of those cost.
Yeah.
And the big thing about it seems stupid to put concrete in there, and then when they build a house, you're tearing it out.
Yeah.
So and then you don't get the capture, right? According to the agreement.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't necessarily be definitely torn out. I mean, if it was kept in okay, condition, then it'd be good, but there's a risk that they would. So, and then it's great for us to be able to force somebody to replace it. I do have one mayoral question / interjection that came in while we were sitting here. With East Center at that recommendation, is that the full two block length that we're looking to redo, or is it like patchwork based on conditions?
It was full.
Yeah.
It was full?
Yeah.
Okay. I would anticipate a few more follow-up questions about that based on the site that occurred this afternoon while I was walking around. So, as far as putting this out to bid, that you said that will encourage you?
Yeah, so yeah, we could get it ready to go, and we could probably let the project sometime in June. It's probably looking at later June at this point. And then there's still time to bring it forth to the July Public Works Committee.
Okay. So I think that sounds good as far as the recommendation goes, and then we just have a follow-up question with the mayor.
Sure.
Thank you.